talks about the beast and a false prophet in chapter 19 and verse 20. They were the first ones, the beast and the false prophet were the first ones cast in the lake of fire. That's different than hell, and we'll talk about that tonight. I love to teach out of the book of Revelation, so I'm just kind of continuing on. I did it a lot while I was here and while Pastor Larry was here. He had me teach through the book of Revelation on Wednesday night. Pastors asked me a few times. I thought, yeah, I'll just continue it on. Amen. So tonight it may be more for unsaved people than it is for saved people, because we're going to talk about the great white throne. But also we as saved people can learn what the scriptures has to say, and maybe where our loved ones are going, if they're not saved, that's where they're going. Going to be put in hell, and then the Bible says death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. Hell's not the final resting place, but the lake of fire is the final resting place. That's sad. That should burden our hearts. We should be out knocking on doors. Should be passing out tracts. I just ordered 1,000 new tracts since I quit pastoring. This is my favorite tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And I put on the back of it, Evangelist John Hankins, my phone number, Jesus Saves. So this is a tract we're passing out now. And as we haven't changed our membership yet, I'll tell you why. Because the little church I pastor down there, Victor Baptist in Clewiston, needs our help financially. We started a mission program, took on 3 new missionaries, and we're sending our tithe and our missions back there right now. And we'll do that for a few months, as I told the pastor before, and then we'll decide where the Lord wants us to settle. Amen, get busy. But that's kind of what we're doing. The Lord's keeping me busy. I preached last Monday in Arcadia, preaching here tonight, end of the month, preaching in Lake Wales, and then preaching in Northport. Pastor from Ohio called me for 2 Sundays. So it don't look like I'm going to rest a whole lot, amen? So I heard somebody say one time, well, just wait till you pass away, and then you can rest. And this guy said, well, probably the way I've been going, if I die and I'm buried, probably the next day the resurrection will take place, the rapture, and I'll have to get back up again. So anyhow, there's no rest, amen? We must keep busy. Jesus is coming soon. So it says here, Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 11. Let me read these verses here. It said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Our Father, bless the reading of the word. I pray that you anoint my lips, fill me with the Spirit of God, give me the unction. If there's one here tonight that's not saved, this will be the night they'll walk forward and receive Christ. May they realize that their baptism, their church membership, their good works is not good enough. They must repent of their sins. They must receive Jesus Christ and the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Lord, you did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. We ask you to be in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the great white throne judgment. This is only for the unsaved. Judgment seat of Christ is only for saved people. And, of course, that will happen after the rapture and before the millennium. But this is only for the unsaved people, the great white throne judgment. If you die without Christ, one of these days you'll stand before the great white throne. You know, Jesus, back in Revelation chapter 4, the throne is mentioned in chapter 4. The throne is mentioned again here in chapter 20. And through the Bible. But he's worshipped in chapter 4. People bowed, got around, and they worshipped him. But here, he sits on the throne as a judge. He comes first as our Savior. Second of all, He comes as Judge. I'm glad I received Him. Amen. A long time ago. Actually, 71 years ago, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I put a reservation in for heaven and still there. Amen. Got my name on it. You can't get it. Amen. So that's safe and secure. But here, this is only for the unsaved. These verses tell about that judgment day. There's nowhere to hide. You can't hide from that. No way you can get away from it. We had a man one time up in Ohio. Actually, he was a doctor. And he wanted to be cremated, and he wanted to be thrown in the Ohio River. And he made a silly statement so he could hide from God. You can't. God made us out of the dust of the earth. He can put us back together again. Amen? So you can't hide from God. You are going to face that. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all going to have to stand before Him. But this is just the unsaved people that will face Jesus as judge. Everyone will receive a just sentence. There's three very important things here about the great white throne. Number one, it's great. It's very great. It refers to power. It's the highest court in the universe. Today, if you'd help to understand a little bit, we have the Supreme Court. There's no court above the Supreme Court. There's no court above God's court. You can't get an appeal. You can't file any higher because this is the final judge and sentence. You can't argue with Him. You can't debate Him because you've rejected Christ many years ago and you've died. 1,000 years have passed, and this great white throne takes place after the millennial kingdom. There's many other things that goes, but I don't have time to go into all the teaching about that. But this is great. There's no appeals. The results are final. You just can't do anything about it. And I'll tell you what the Lord says. He's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you." Didn't say He did know you and didn't. That does it now. He said, "I never knew you." So first of all, it's great. Second of all, it's white. You notice that? There in verse 11, I saw a great white throne that represents purity. The court is perfect, that it's fair, it's righteous. No one will be able to say, "God didn't treat me right." Because we have nothing to say about it. We have the opportunity while we're alive to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And people mock and make fun of Him and say, "Oh, the Bible is written by man, and I don't believe Jesus died." It don't make any difference where you agree with Him or not. He did die. He did bury, was buried and rose again on the third day. And He is coming again. Nothing you can do about that. You say, "I don't believe it." Don't make any difference where you believe it or not. It's true. But I would encourage you to believe it and receive Him into your heart and in your life. The person on the throne, that's the third thing. First of all, it's a great throne, it's a white throne, and the person that sits on the throne. Who is that? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to John chapter 5. You got your Bibles, I like to turn to the Scriptures. In John chapter 5 and verse 22, we'll find where the authority comes from and who's sitting on the throne. In John chapter 5 and verse 22, says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Verse 27, "And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of God." Verse 30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." So Jesus will be the sentencer. There will be no jury. Whatever Christ says, that's the final authority. Whatever He sentences, and the Bible tells us the sentence is what it will be. And it's sad. Say, "I don't fear God." Well, you better fear God. You better wake up and understand, one of these days you're going to have to face Him. I'm glad He died on Calvary for us, and our judgment has already been taking place. But if you reject that, One of these days you're going to stand before the great white throne and you're going to hear these sad words. So this is only for unsaved people, not saved people. We may be around. We may shed some tears around here. I'm not sure about that. But right after this, God may wipe away tears. We may stand there and see our loved ones come up and be sentenced. And we may break our hearts. Somebody we witnessed to and they didn't get saved. Someone we passed the track out, they didn't get saved. We may see them come up and the Lord says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." And they never knew it. So we may shed some tears there. I'm not sure about that, but I think probably so. Then God's going to wipe all tears away. And there'll be no tears in heaven. Amen. Be joy and happiness and no more sorrow, no more sin. Jesus will be that sinner. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And we need to recognize today that He has the final authority. I get so tired of people saying, "No man's going to tell me what to do." Somebody's always telling us what to do. You go to a gas station, get gas. Someone says, "You can't get gas unless you pay for it." You go to a grocery store and get groceries. Well, you can't get out of there unless you pay for the groceries. Somebody's telling us what to do all the time. But when it comes to God, I'm not going to listen to Him. Can I tell you a little secret? I'm a little over 81 years of age. Let me tell you a little secret. You would be very smart and very wise to obey Jesus, to receive Him as your Savior. Don't go through the waters of baptism. Say, "Well, I'll join a church. I'll attend church and I'll be all right." No, you won't. You can attend church all you want in every service. You can get baptized in every hole there is. But unless you've been born again, you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And you're going to hear that sad words, "I never knew you." And you'll be cast into the lake of fire, alive. Did you notice there, I try to keep from this so I can get through tonight, but the beast and the false prophet are put in the lake of fire in chapter 19 there in verse 20. And then 1,000 years later, guess what? It tells us in chapter 20 and in verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Let me tell you a little secret. The beast and the false prophet has been in the lake of fire for over a thousand years. They're not burned up yet. And now the devil's thrown in with them. When you die without Christ, eventually, you'll be cast in the lake of fire. You're alive. You'll never get out of it. You'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. You say, "That's your idea." No, it's not my idea. I just read it to you right here. And we'll find out these sad words here. How sad, it breaks my heart. "He's so powerful, the heavens and the earth flee away," it says here. "Today, there is grace. Today, there is forgiveness. Today, there is repentance. Today, there is salvation. Today, there is mercy. But at the great white throne, for you that die without Christ," and I don't know where you're here tonight, whether you're saved or not. If you're not saved, you need to come and ask the pastor tonight in this invitation and say, "Pastor, I want to make sure heaven's my home." There'll be no grace there. There'll be no forgiveness there. There'll be no repentance there. There will be no mercy there. There will be no salvation. It'll only be judgment. Who will appear at the great white throne? Notice here, it's the dead in verse 12. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Don't make any difference who you are. I don't care what prestige you got, how much money you got, what kind of name that you have. The small and the great will stand before the Lord. Not to find out where you're going to heaven or not. That's already been decided. Did you know something? Here's another little secret. I hear people say, "Well, it's up to God whether I go to heaven or hell or not." That's not true. It's not true. It's up to you. You got to make that decision before the grave, before you die. You have to decide, are you going to go to heaven? Or you're not going to pay attention to them old preachers. You're not going to pay attention to the Bible. And you die without Christ, you made your choice. It's not God's fault that you'll go to hell. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. And I remember the old preachers way back in the 50s used to say, if you go, you're going as an intruder. It wasn't made for you. It's made for the devil and his angels. And God didn't intend people to go to hell, but he gave them a choice, whosoever will. We have that opportunity to receive Christ. I'm glad I did, and I'm glad many of you did. And maybe there's maybe just one here tonight. Maybe there's two or three. I don't know what you're depending on to get you to heaven. Was it church membership, baptism, good works, mom and dad? Well, I've never done this. I've never done that. Look how they live. I've never done any of that. You can't get to heaven how good you are. You know, a well person doesn't go to a doctor, only a sick person. You got to realize you're a sinner and you're lost and you're going to eternity without Christ. You need to cry out to him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can be saved and I can go to heaven. So it's the dead, the spiritually dead. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Spiritually dead. You may be alive tonight, and you are, or you wouldn't be here. You're alive tonight, but you may be dead spiritually to God. You have no communication with him. But you can be alive in Christ by repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God raises their dead bodies. Did you notice here that he calls the bodies from the ground and the souls from hell? Do you know when we die, the body and soul is separated? But at the second resurrection, same with the first resurrection, but I'm not talking about that. The second resurrection is only for the unsaved, and God puts the soul and the body back together again. You say, can you prove that? Yeah. Look at the Bible here. Look what it says in verse 13. And she gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So the Bible makes it very plain. Not only we as Christians are going to be resurrected at the rapture, but the unsaved is going to be resurrected. And then those in death and hell will be resurrected. They'll be united and stand before the Lord. You'll be alive. You'll be alive. And you'll be cast in the lake of fire alive. You say, I don't believe that. That's old fashioned. I know it. That's what I am. Amen. This Bible was written way before I was born. This Bible was written before I called to preach 54 years ago. And the Bible's true. I stake my soul on this Bible. I stake my life, my family, everything upon thus saith the word of God. Amen. It's what he says, not what we say or what we think. We must depend upon that. So none is left out. There's no exceptions. Notice verse 13. All who die without a Savior will be judged. It says, and the sea gave up the dead. There's many folks in the service that have been buried at the sea. You say, well, boy, they'll never be seen again. Yes, he will. Just right there it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. All who died without a Savior, what will God use to do the judging? Well, the Bible talks about it here. Look in verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, he explains what that book is, the other book. It's the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know what I believe the books are? I believe it's talking about 66 books in one book. It's talking about the Bible. Did you know that unsaved people, you're going to be judged according to the Bible? Turn to John chapter 12, if you will, please. John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48. It says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This Bible will judge you. This Bible is true. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We're going to be judged for every idle word that we've ever said. You said no to Jesus. No to the cross. I like to preach on the cross. Preaching the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. You know, we look at the cross a lot. But you know, it's really the man on the cross that makes the difference. The Lord Jesus, who there died for us. So one that mocked and made fun of the Lord and refused to receive him, this word will judge you. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but I think probably there may be a book of deeds. I'm not sure. I know I heard a preacher one time preach on this, and he had all kind of books. I know there's a book of remembrance, talks about in the Old Testament and so forth. But there may be books of deeds. Look at verse 12. The last part of verse 12 and the last part of verse 13. It says in verse 12, "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And the last part of verse 13, "And they were judged every man according to their works." We have a choice now and then. I believe there's going to be rewards in heaven. Different degrees of rewards. And I believe there's going to be different degrees of punishment in hell. I could use Hitler and maybe your good works. I believe Hitler will get a much more severe punishment because it says they'll be judged according to their works. Now, it's not due to salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. It's where that you'll be in the lake of fire. You may be close to it. You may be a little away from it. But I believe there will be degrees of punishment in hell. Then it talks about the book of life. Notice there in chapter 20, not only the books, which I believe is the Bible, 66 books in this one book, maybe a book of deeds. I don't have scripture on that. It's just an idea. That's Hankinsology there, I guess. And then the book of life that it talks about in verse 12. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. What is the book of life? Now, some may disagree with me on this. That's all right. No problem. But I believe the Lamb's book of life and the book of life are the same, probably. I think the book of life, you think about that. What is the book of life? It seems like that everyone that is born is put in this book, their name. And when a person dies without Jesus, the name is removed from this book. And when you stand before the great white throne judgment, God's not only going to judge you by this Bible, but he's going to open the book of life up and say, I don't see your name anywhere. You must not have received him as Savior. The Bible talks about in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, that we are to rejoice because our name is written down in heaven. And that's good, you say. But the book of life, and I believe the Lamb's book of life is probably the same. I could go to different verses, but I don't have time. My time's almost up already, and I can't hardly believe that. That's what you get when you're in the ministry for a while, I guess, preacher. You can't go with time anymore. I enjoyed Brother Mott's message last Wednesday night, and he preached a good message. But I want to emphasize this. The sentence is based on these books, and the sentence is death. Look in verse 14. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. The physical death is the first one. The second death is when you stand before the great white throne judgment and you're cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. And you're alive when that happens. Think about that. You're alive. You're hearing what the Lord says from the great white throne. And you're alive when you hear those words. The sentence is death. Imagine to hear Jesus say, "Depart from me." Wouldn't it be sad? Turn to the book of Matthew. Let me just give you a couple verses and then I'll close here. Didn't near get the message done tonight, but that's my fault. I should have put it more together. But in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, said, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." It's the final judgment. One more. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The sentence is final. It's cast into the lake of fire. Does that bother you, Christians? There may be some in your family. Well, not in my family. If they have never made repentance toward the Lord and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I don't care who your family is. They're going to die and go to hell. Time for us to get on our knees and crawl and shed tears and beg and plead with. Well, I'll never beg and plead with anyone. We better wake up. Because the only way you can get to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, you're a preacher." Well, the Bible talks about this right here. Look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. Think about that. Isn't that sad? That sad, sad word. How horrible this scene is in the Bible. I'm just teaching through the book of Revelation. It just so happened that this would be the time tonight. But just think about that. This is a real instance that will take place at the great white throne judgment. Let me ask you a very important question. Do you know if you die right now, you go to heaven? If you don't know that, then you need to come tonight and let the pastor or someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," present tense, "hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For if the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." if you'll just call on the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to swallow our pride, don't we? I'll take my chance. There's no chance. Either you is or you isn't. There's only two groups of people here tonight. Saved and unsaved. No hope so, no maybe so, no 99% so. Are you trying to work your way to heaven? I don't know. What are you depending on to get you to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. I treat everyone well. I love everybody. Well, then why did Christ die on the cross? If you could get to heaven because of your goodness. He did something for us that we could not but do for ourselves. He is one that died, was buried, and rose again. We'll be celebrating the resurrection here real, real soon. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. The only way that you can live in heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as our Savior. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. You can't go to God with bypassing Jesus. You have to come through him. I remember when I was young, the old preacher, sixth grade education, he used to say the cross is so high you can't get over it. It's so low you can't get under it. It's so wide you can't get around it. You got to come in at the door. You got to come by the cross. Now these are sad words, but the best words I could say to you that Jesus said, come unto me. All ye that weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. It's your choice. We can't make you. We don't try to make you. But we encourage you to do that. And I hope that we can have an invitation tonight, Pastor, and just give folks an opportunity to make that decision if you've never made it. You say, I think I'm all right. I've been baptized. I joined church. I tithe. I put money in the offering plate. None of that's any good. Lord, Lord, haven't we done wonderful works? He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's only through him would you come tonight. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be here tonight. Thank you for Pastor allowing me to preach tonight. And Lord, if there would be one under the sound of our voice tonight that does not know 100% for sure that if they die tonight, they'd go to heaven. May this be the night they'll slip out of their seat. They'll come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying and being buried and raised again on the third day for our justification. Save that person that is closest to eternity without Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and bow our heads.